It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Laura and I are rooting for you tonight, and good luck.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I want to remind everybody that the website, MikeO'MaraShow.com, is up and running.
It's open.
If you go to that website and register, the first 10,000 people to register will qualify for a $500 cash prize, as well as a Nintendo Wii system. Very nice, boys. That's just like the end of the show.
Only not as gay.
Couldn't be any gayer than that.
I think that's gayer because it's us saying we.
You know, everybody that goes to the pump now is getting
and
more
and
more
again?
Irritated. McBrittian. That is her name.
Pump FN.
I tell you, I want to tell you, it's getting so bad. But the one thing that I became aware of in the last couple of weeks is that if this thing continues to escalate the way it is, mm-hmm. and we're talking about $8 a gallon, mm-hmm. that's when people, I think, are going to wig out. We always said $4 a gallon, people would start to go crazy. We're past that now.
Have you noticed less traffic going home? I think there's less cars on the road right now already.
I think you're right.
Well, that actually ties into this. Let's talk to this gentleman right now. He's nice enough to come on the show. Let's welcome Dr. Robert Zubrin. Doctor, nice to have you on the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Your book is "The Winning the War on Terror by Breaking Free of Oil, Energy Victory." And you propose some, I don't want to call them dramatic, but they seem to me pretty logical ways of dealing with this situation. The first question I would have for you, Dr. Zubrin, just how corrupt is Washington when it comes to the oil industry? And how come we can't do what you suggest? And what you suggest, quite simply, is to come up with cars that run on alternative fuels.
Sure.
That's really the gist mm-hmm. Of your book. I'm just curious to how difficult you think this is going to actually be to implement.
Well, it's going to be a fight, but if we don't win it soon, it's going to be a lot harder to win because Saudi influence in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country is growing by leaps and bounds. Mm. I mean, do you realize this year, the United States is going to import 5 billion barrels of oil. At $130 a barrel, that's $650 billion we're paying for foreign oil, up from $40 billion in 1999.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
You throw in another $400 billion we're paying for domestic oil. That's over $1 trillion we're paying for oil. That's equal to 40% of what the IRS raises. So this is like a 40% income tax rise across the board, except the money's going to Uncle Saud instead of Uncle Sam. And and that's enough to send us into a recession. And then to cap it all, the Saudis are putting together a $900 billion takeover fund called the Sovereign Wealth Fund to come in and buy up the companies they drive into insolvency, at discount prices. Mm. OPEC as a whole is going to be pulling in $1.5 trillion this year. The whole worth of the U.S. Fortune 500 is $18 trillion. So at their current rate of looting, they'll have enough money to get majority control of the whole Fortune 500 within 6 years.
And thusly control our country that way.
Completely. Right.
Now for those people that have not read the book and might not understand what you're talking about, you want Congress to pass a law requiring that cars in the United States be flex-fueled. Please to explain flex-fuel to people that might not even know what you're talking about.
Okay. People go around saying that we're addicted to oil.
Right.
We're not addicted to oil. Our cars are addicted to oil.
Okay.
Our cars are kind of like a person who could only eat herring. And so if the herring merchants want to charge him $100 a pound for herring, he's just got to pay it. You're much better off being a normal person who can eat steak and potatoes and corn and ice cream and cantaloupes and whatever, okay?
Right.
Then nobody can soak you, okay? Now, a flex fuel car is a car that's not addicted to oil. A flex fuel car is a car that can run equally well on alcohol or gasoline, and the alcohol can be methanol or ethanol. Okay? So these kinds of cars actually exist. This year, Detroit is going to be producing 24 models of cars that have flex fuel capability. But unfortunately, they're only 3% of the auto market, even though they only cost about $100 more than the same car without this option.
Can a flex-fueled car, can a car that runs on gasoline, is it expensive to modify an existing gasoline-exclusive car to make it a flex-fueled car? Can we do that?
I think so. There are kits that are being sold right now on the internet that cost about $500 that would allow you to do that. Unfortunately, there's no certification process so that nobody knows which of these are good and which of them might ruin your car.
Might damage your car, right.
Yeah, so we need to have a certification process. But to make a car flex fueled in the first place only adds about $100 to the cost of the car. But the problem is they're only 3% of auto sales, because in most places there's no point to buying one because you can't find an alcohol fuel pump anywhere. And the reason why you can't find an alcohol fuel pump anywhere is if you own a gas station and you got a couple of pumps, you're not going to dedicate one of them to a kind of fuel that only 3% of the cars can use.
Right. How easy, and that's what would make this, the fact that the oil companies control the gas stations that do that, that's what makes this thing difficult to implement, right?
Well, no, I think we just have to break through inertia in Congress. You see, if we had a law like this, what I'm saying, within 3 years, we'd have 50 million cars on the road in the United States capable of running on alcohol fuels. And I think at that point you would see alcohol fuel pumps, both methanol pumps and ethanol pumps, at many corner gas stations and at Walmarts and at 7-Elevens. And here's the real point, not just in the United States but all over the world. Because if we made this the American standard that to sell a car here it has to give the consumer fuel choice, all the foreign car makers would switch their lines over to meet that requirement. The Japanese are not about to walk away from the American automobile market. So that right. Neither are the Europeans. So basically, any car being manufactured and exported in any serious way anywhere in the world would be a flex fuel car, and gasoline would be forced to compete at the pump against both methanol and ethanol, not just in Iowa, but in India, Argentina, Poland, France, Japan, everywhere. And that's how you crash the price of oil to $50 a barrel.
Now, I want to talk about Brazil in a second, but I first want to say, you know, as I was looking at your websites and the websites where they talk about your book, tremendous. What amazed me, especially in the climate we're in with the price that we're paying for gasoline, so many naysayers. Do you ever think the naysayers that question a lot of your ideas are coming from the oil lobby? Because
yeah.
They seem to all come from a specific point of view. You know, hey, we're going to exhaust other resources if you use ethanol and methanol.
And they all appear to have the same well-informed information.
They sure do. Do you find that a little suspect, Dr. Zubrin?
Yeah, it's very suspect. And in point of fact, there's this concerted campaign that was unleashed once oil crossed $100 a barrel around February or so of this year.
Mm-hmm.
To try to attack the biofuels. And this is going on internationally. It's the oil cartel has hired slick public relations firms like Edelman Communications in Washington and Glover Park, given them millions of dollars to plant three lines out there. They say that the use of ethanol is driving up food prices, is causing starvation in the third world, and it's causing environmental devastation like the destruction of the rainforest. It's all completely false. In fact, in 2007, U.S. corn exports were the largest in history, and U.S. farm exports overall were the largest in history. And, you know, the food riots in Haiti were over rice prices, and no one is converting rice paddies into cornfields. The food prices are being driven up by fuel prices.
Right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, just follow the money. The oil cartel is taking in $4 trillion from the world this year.
Now, one of the things that blew me away when I was reading about this was the fact that there is an example that's been going for a while now. Brazil, is it true? Brazil has 90% of their cars are flex fueled, and they have weaned themselves off of the significant oil dependency, and that's happening right now.
Yes. That's all completely true, and it's very dramatic. You know, in 1973, the United States was 30% dependent on foreign oil, and Brazil was 80%. Today, as a result of do-nothing politicians not addressing this issue, we've gone from 30% dependence to 60% dependence. But Brazil, because it's had this policy, has gone from 80% dependence to zero.
Zero. So they don't need foreign oil at all. So they can't be, pardon the pun, held over a barrel for this. What can citizens do if they outside of reading the book, what can they do to get your ideas passed into law? Because it really, you're talking $200 to modify these cars into flex fuels. And where do you line up on electric cars? Because you seem to be pretty focused on this methanol, ethanol thing. But what about, there are a lot of electric car technologies that are out there now.
All right. Well, let me answer them in turn. First of all, what can people do? There's a bill that's going to be introduced into Congress this June. It's called the Open Fuel Standards Act. It's going to be introduced by Senator Brownback and by in the Senate and Congressman Engel and Kingston in the House. So Democrat and Republican in each case. It's bipartisan. And what this bill would do is it would make it the law that starting in 2012, half of all new cars have to be flex fueled, and in 2013, 80%. So it basically makes flex fuel the law of the land. And one thing that everyone can do who's listening to the show is contact their congressman and insist that they become co-sponsors of this bill. And if they won't, you got to really put it to them. Why not? Because in whose interest is it that our cars not be flex fueled? In whose interest is it that we don't have fuel choice?
Are the American people motivated enough, though, to pressure their lawmakers to get off the dime and pass this bill? At what point will Americans finally become motivated enough to take up arms, at least verbally, with this?
Well, I think people are getting pretty bad now, and I don't even think people know the half of this situation. In other words, they're seeing $4 gas, and that's really annoying, and it costs you $60 to fill up your tank.
Yeah, and that's where we are. That's where everybody is right now. They see the $4 a gallon, or $4.50 a gallon, and that's how they react to it.
But it's worse than that, you see, because, look, they take $1 trillion Americans are going to pay for oil this year, okay?
$1 trillion. Just think of that money. I mean,
you can't
picture
it. You can't picture it.
Yeah. Divide that by 300 million Americans, that's $3,300 a person, man, woman, and child in the country, or $13,000 for a family of four. So the average American worker only makes $45,000 a year before taxes, maybe $35,000 after taxes. So there's a third of his income going for oil right now, either directly in the form of gasoline or indirectly in the form of inflated food prices and other things, because everything you buy, the fuel prices figure into it. You know, that's a third of his income, up from 3% in 1999, going for oil. That's why they can't buy houses. That's why the housing market is collapsing. And when the housing market collapses, the mortgage market collapses, the banks collapse, and companies start going under. We're in danger of a depression right now because of this. So this is a much bigger affair than, oh, gee, that oil gasoline fill-up just cost me $60. This is... jobs are in danger here. Millions of jobs could be lost over this.
And I think we have to get serious about it. I really do. And this is the time to start talking about it. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, you're not being funny, Mike. You're not being funny. But really, how often are people bitching about this oil situation?
Yeah.
I think really we have to start talking about ideas. This is a gentleman who's come up with concrete solutions. And really, I would recommend this book to anybody. You know, get a copy of Energy Victory. Read through it. We're not talking about... you know, whacked out ideas for doing this, but they will, believe you me, the oil lobby and the people that are protecting this money, both in America and abroad, trust me, they're gonna diminish this. They're gonna make it sound like this guy's a wacko.
Right.
And beware. Just be very aware of that. Yeah, Rob.
Dr. Zubrin, I don't want to sound naive, but I was just thinking a step ahead. If we do go to these flex fuel cars and this alcohol or methanol-based fuel becomes the coin of the realm in the future, couldn't that actually improve our domestic economy? Because we have the ability to farm the corn that can be turned into the fuel. So instead of weakening the economy, couldn't this sort of put a spring in the step of our farm community that's been sort of decaying for the past 50 years?
Oh, yeah. This is going to – it will help farmers. It will also help coal miners because coal can be made into methanol too. It will also help farmers in the third world, okay, because if we had a mandate of the type that I'm talking about, within a few years we'll have a market for alcohol fuels that will greatly exceed what the American farmer can grow. That's great. That means we can give them all the business they can possibly handle and then drop our tariffs against Latin American ethanol. And the same thing with Europe vis-a-vis Africa and Japan vis-a-vis South Asia. So what you're talking about is taking about $1 trillion a year that's now going to the oil cartel to fund terrorism and redirecting it to the world's agricultural sector, with about half of it going to farmers in advanced countries like the United States and Europe, and the other half going to poor countries in the Caribbean and Latin America, Africa, South Asia. And so $500 billion to the advanced sector, $500 billion to the third world. $500 billion to the third world is huge. That's 10 times the total amount of foreign aid in the world from all public and private sources combined.
And I might have asked you this before. What about electric cars? Where do they fit into this?
Yes.
Well, they're marginal. There's some interest in creating a whole infrastructure to allow electric cars to function in Israel with battery switch-out stations and all this. But electric cars have limited range.
Okay.
And so unless you have battery switch-out stations all over the place, people don't want to buy them. Now, because otherwise you have to recharge it yourself and it takes hours.
Okay, what about a flex-fuel hybrid?
Well, a flex-fuel hybrid is a reasonable thing. A flex-fuel plug-in hybrid is even better.
Right.
But these are medium-term solutions. Because a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid costs $5,000 to $10,000 more than a comparable small car. I think that But you can just add $100 to the cost of an ordinary car. You make them flex fuel, and we create fuel choice in the market.
Any applications for this technology in the airline industry? Because obviously we hear about the airline industry being affected by this. Is there anything on the horizon for that? I mean, because, you know, Brazil, they got to fly their planes with jet fuel.
Correct. But the jet fuel will be cheaper because you'll crash the price of oil.
All right.
Wow.
Okay.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Dr. Zubin, will you take a couple of phone calls for us?
Sure. And by the way, I just want to tell everybody, there's a website as well. Besides the book Energy Victory, there's a website, energyvictory.net, where a lot of my magazine and newspaper articles on this subject are available.
.net. Okay,
very good. Okay. We will do that. Let's take some calls right now. Let's go to Greg. Greg in Wichita. You're on with Dr. Robert Zubrin. His book is Energy Victory, Winning the War Against Terror by Breaking Free of Oil.
I was curious, Doctor, if you know anything about a company called Zero Pollution Motors. I think they're out of France. They're talking about releasing by the end of next year or early 2010 an air-powered car for under $18,000.
I know about that. But, see, you can power a car with compressed air. But it's like an electric car. It has limited range. In fact, more limited range than a battery-powered car because you just can't store that much energy in a cylinder of compressed gas.
I want to make sure that I've got this right, Dr. Zubrin, that when you're talking about the flex fuel technology, you're talking about an immediate practical solution. That's one of your big issues in the book, correct? We're talking practicality, whereas with electric cars, I just want to make sure I've got this right. With electric cars with the limited range, not necessarily as practical, but the flex fuels can happen right away.
That's right. I mean, look, so there's no downside to buying a flex fuel car. It can do everything that an ordinary car can do. If you want to fill up with unleaded, you can, okay? But what it does is it gives you a choice that you can either fill up with gasoline or fill up with alcohol. And you see, this is a key thing for any transitional technology. Let's say I had a car that runs on, take your pick, hydrogen, butane, anything, okay? If all it could do is run on some alternate fuel, even if it was a wonderful car, no one with any brains would buy it because there's no place to fill up. But the thing about a flex fuel car is it can run on the existing infrastructure. You can fill it up with existing gas stations. And then we just make this a standard, and in a few years there's enough of them out there that they create a market where if somebody wants to go sell methanol, the cars are there that can do it. You know, methanol is selling right now, today, without any subsidy for $1.50 a gallon.
Does it run as efficiently as gasoline? Does the engine have the same power?
No, it doesn't. But let me make it to the bottom line of that.
Okay.
It's a little bit more than half the energy of gasoline. So methanol at $1.50 a gallon is like gasoline at $2.80 a gallon.
Okay.
But that still beats gasoline at $4 a gallon.
You're right. Okay? Absolutely. And it's about the competitive marketplace we're talking about.
Right. But you see, right now, however, gasoline doesn't have to compete against methanol at all because the cars can't use it. But if the cars were equally capable of using methanol or gasoline, then that would be a price point that gasoline would have to match, and they would never be able to raise gas above $2.80 a gallon, or at least not for long.
Okay, let's take another call here. Martin in Maryland, you're on with Dr. Robert Zubrin. Martin.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead,
down
Martin.
Here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to talk about the environmental impact of growing all of this corn. I've seen in some editorials and studies that we would have to cover the entire United States with corn just to run a percentage of our own auto.
That's what I've read also, and I get the impact. Everybody does seem to be saying that. You hear a lot of that, Doctor. What's your answer to that?
Look, it's certainly true that we can't replace all of our gasoline with corn, corn ethanol. Corn ethanol has replaced 5% of our gasoline, and that's a significant achievement, and it could probably do 10. And it has done this, by the way, without decreasing the amount of corn available for food and feed at all. In fact, U.S. corn exports last year were the largest in history. In 2002, you know, we grew 10 billion bushels of corn. We used 1 billion to make ethanol. We had 9 left over for food. In 2007, we grew 14.5 billion bushels of corn. We used 3 to make ethanol. We had 11.5 left over for food and feed. So we had more food, corn, not less. But that said, no, we can't do this whole thing with corn. But corn's just one crop. The whole point about the flex fuel standard is not to pick one particular answer and say, that's it. The point is to open the cars up so they can use alcohols made from any number of ways. And, for instance, methanol can be made from coal, of which we have hundreds of years' worth in this country. It can be made from any kind of biomass without exception, crop residues, weeds, swamp plants. It can be made from natural gas, and it can be made from recycled urban trash.
And how does the methanol and ethanol, how do they affect the environment? When they're are they cleaner burning?
Yeah, they're cleaner burning. In Brazil, where there's been a large-scale shift to ethanol, largely sugar ethanol, there's been a great improvement in the air quality in the cities. And as far as the consequences of spills are concerned, it's much less with an alcohol, because alcohols are water-soluble. You know, windshield wiper fluid is one-third methanol and two-thirds water. That's what windshield wiper fluid is.
Wow. All right.
And we dump hundreds of millions of gallons of that right out into the environment all the time, and it doesn't cause any pollution at all.
All right, Dr. Zubin, this is really what fascinates me about this is that we're, you know, this is right now. This is a technology we can use right now. Mm-hmm. I love your ideas. What are your, are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Do you see this kind of legislation becoming reality? And the second part of that question would be, how difficult with the current administration in power will it be to get this kind of legislation enacted?
Well, you know, the current administration is very friendly to the Saudis, and they saw how much that friendship did for them when they went to beg the Saudis to lower the price.
Yeah, and they told us to go scratch.
That's exactly right.
Right.
So the Saudis are not our friends, and there's no use kidding ourselves about that. Not only are they not our friends because of oil prices, they're not our friends because they're heavily involved in promoting jihadi ideology over half the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bill's going to be introduced this year. It's going to be tough to get it passed this year, not so much because of Bush, but because of all the politics of an election year. Still,
right.
We're going to try to get it front and center. We're going to try to get it passed this year. And if it doesn't get passed, we want to have it enough in the center of the public dialogue so that when the next president comes in January 2009, and I think this country's going to be ready for action by then,
I hope so.
There'll be action.
All right. Well, Doctor, this is a great book. I hope everybody gets a chance to take a look at it. I like, you know, I'll tell you, I'm a dumb guy, and I do like simple concepts. And this is easy, I think, for every American to understand. And it's something we do. Look, the bottom line is I'm not hearing a lot of different ideas. I'm hearing this idea, and this seems as good as any I've heard to wean ourselves off this incredible dependency on foreign oil. We really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Plug your website one more time, Doc.
The book is Energy Victory, and the website is energyvictory.net, and the bill is the Open Fuel Standards Act.
And okay. Buzz, you have one more thing.
Open season on OPEC.
Open season on OPEC, the Open Fuel Standard Act. That's what people should tell their lawmakers to pass, right?
Right.
Okay,
yep.
Very good.
You're a good man. We wish you the very best of luck, Doc.
Thanks. Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you very
sir.
Much for calling, and we appreciate it. That's Dr. Robert Zubrin and Energy Victory. Who knows? I mean, you know, I think there are a lot of, you know, you have electric cars, you have alternative fuels. We got to do something. You know, and I don't care what your feelings are on global warming. You're talking about, you know, the fact that we really have to do something right now. We're going to be paying $8 to $12 a gallon. I can't do that. Can you?
No.
And you guys proved last Friday that you can run very well fueled on alcohol.
If anybody
I think,
can
you know, honest to God, here's the deal. Because I didn't want to drive, I ran home.
Did you?
And I
backwards.
You know, a couple of times, I had a problem.
You exerted yourself.
A couple of times, I had a problem with the environment. But overall, I mean, only if you were like 3 feet in back of me would you have been affected.
You
by
didn't
that.
Go right. green.
All right, let's talk. You ready to talk games?
You want to play a game?
Yeah.
I hated the new password. We didn't even get a chance to chat about
Sorry
that.
Sorry to hear that.
Password. Well, it was bright lights and Regis and dumb, and they dumbed it down a little bit. I like the old one. Alan Ludden was kind of cool, but
oh, he's the best.
We were talking about password. I played it with my kids last night, just writing down
it's
words.
It's a good game.
We're playing something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Buzzword. It's a real game we stole out of a store. Sue me.
We paid for it.
We paid money for it.
You made it sound like you
shouldn't
shoplifted.
Steal from a
this
store.
Is this is an easy game to play. It's a the buzzword is just what it says.
Mm-hmm.
One particular word
right.
that translates into other words. Do you have any idea how to explain it? You're
I
leaving
do.
Tomorrow.
Can we use one of the sample questions?
What does
questions?
That have to do with it?
Because I'm realizing I'll have to explain these things or go to Beth Ann
oh,
McBride.
Oh, Beth Ann can explain
who
great.
Will, explain
Would you
it.
Like her to leave right now?
No. Here, let me see the game here.
The buzzword is a key word that is part of all the answers.
Yes, for
There'll
example.
Be a series of five questions that you want. Six?
Let
Ten?
Me, I've got a card right here.
Okay, good.
All right, for
good.
Example.
What's the buzzword?
If the buzzword is call,
okay.
you will have... 10 different clues,
okay.
and Call is the buzzword that has to be incorporated into the word we're giving you.
Part of a phrase.
I'll play the game with you right now.
The phrase will include the word call.
Yes, so this is the way this game's going to work. You can call us at 877-365-3636. When you get on the line, you can play with any one of us. And then Buzz will, well, except for Buzz, because he's got to keep score and be the announcer.
Right.
But Buzz will announce the word, like right now.
The buzzword is call.
Then say, Rob is Joe Caller, and I will say, are you ready to play the game?
I love your show!
All right, shut up, caller. Here's your first clue.
Go.
Remember, the buzzword is call.
The buzzword is call.
The buzzword is call.
Near miss.
A close call.
Hard decision.
Hard to call. Tough call. A tough call.
You got it right.
See how it works.
Very good. Good job. Right, and they get more difficult as you go on.
Oh, it's a progressive
game. Why are you chewing gum and smirking at me? Rise and shine greeting from the front desk.
Wake up call.
That's how it works.
Completely at your disposal.
At your beck and call.
Wrap it up for the night.
Call it a night. Evening.
A day.
Call it a day.
Call it a day. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
If you're calling it a night, you'd be up later.
Or you could call it an evening. Boo.
Judges won't take that.
Rob sucks.
Direct the movie. Call the shots.
These are getting harder as
they get harder as you go on.
I see.
How do you win?
Telemarketer's tool.
Cold call.
Telephone me.
Call me at home.
Give me a call.
Give me a call at home on the telephone.
Paul Simons, I can call you Betty.
But baby, when you call me, you can call me Al.
Very nice, Rob. And number 10. Reverse the phone charges. I'm sure you're no stranger to this.
That's pleasant. Collect call.
Collect call. It's Buzzword. Yes, we're going to play Buzzword. Get on the line, 877-365-3636, and you could win. We'll figure out exactly what you can win when we come back. But first, we have to pay the piper because it costs money, and we need ethanol and methanol, and I'm farting. We'll be right back.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.